Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Chatting for Change. I am Preston, joining the booth with Ryan, Miles, and Caitlin. How are y'all doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. So, yesterday was a very special day, not because it was April Fool's Day, but yesterday also happened to be Take Down Tobacco Day. Now, Take Down Tobacco is an organization that spreads information to youth about the dangers of smoking and vaping specifically. According to their website, tobacco is the number one cause of preventable death in the United States and around the world each year. Every year, tobacco kills more than 500,000 Americans and 6 million people worldwide. So, you know, that's kind of a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in their video, they actually talked about, like, they're talking about, like, the cure to, like, the coronavirus. And they were like, oh, really? you need the vaccine. Like, one of the roasts was, like, the cure to, you know, cigarettes and, like, tobacco is just you not buying it. Can you imagine, like, if it was that easy to get rid of the coronavirus, you just wouldn't buy it?
Yeah, just, like, don't get corona.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think we're up to, like, what, 480,000 deaths in America with the coronavirus.
Oh, my gosh.
Which corona has, or which tobacco has 500,000 every year. So,
yeah.
Right.
It's kind of, like, put into perspective. It's pretty cool.
That is crazy to think about.
So I guess some other things that happened in the podcast, or like in that night that they had, I mean, it was just a general roast over it. And it was, I think it was pretty good. They shared some good stuff. And so typically what happens in that sort of, I guess, thing is, if you've ever heard of like someone roasting someone, what they decided to do was, is that they just put, I guess like a compilation of a whole bunch of different comedians, you know, athletes and that sort of thing. And they just kind of put them together and they just kind of list just one after another, just ripping into like the, I guess the cigarette in like e-cig industry.
How they target kids and stuff like that. And
right, yeah.
They really hit hard on the kids part, you know, like, you know, you're so bad, you know, like they're putting them in like levels. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, but. And I mean, I think it was pretty good. I mean, of course, this sort of thing also was... it's supposed to be like, you know, funny. I mean, it's entertainment. That's what it is, you know, to get your attention. And I think it's pretty good. There's definitely some jokes that like hit, you know, good. Like it just caught me off guard. Just, you know, I mean, I couldn't say like which one exactly, but just overall, I think it was pretty good. They had some big people. I know one person I think was either previous member or is a part of Wild and Out from MTV. And,
really?
Yeah. Also there was like a, I think there's a former D1 volleyball player. And she was also on there. So it was just like people like that, you know, some fairly famous people who had made it onto that sort of roast.
Yeah. I think definitely what would have made it better is if like they had a crowd, but due to corona and stuff, they weren't able to be together. But
right,
if they could all like pitched in, it would have been a whole lot better. But it was still good the way they did it. And hopefully it reaches out to people and people get to see it. And
Yeah.
Maybe some clips will go viral and or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Probably. But y'all mentioned the idea of them, of like all these e-cig companies targeting kids. And I think that's so crazy to think about because of all people, you would not think that kids is what you'd be going for. Like you would think they would have a little bit more respect because they're like, oh, they're too young. They don't need to do that. Plus it's illegal for that age, you know, but they still target that because, you know, I don't know why actually. I was going to say because blah, 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 but I don't know why. It's
you know, I think really e-cig companies, I don't think they really care about who buys their product. It's a matter of whether people buy their products or not. They don't care if you're 50 years old or 16 years old. As long as they sell, everything's fine in the world with them. Because if they honestly cared, they wouldn't go after those kids. They would go after older people that are trying to get out of smoking. Because, you know, some people use e-cigs as a way to get out of smoking.
Yeah.
But obviously, that's not what big companies do. And to be honest, I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah, and they can say all day long that they're not targeting kids, but with all the different like flavors, I guess, that you'd say, like I hear about bubblegum, birthday cake, like strawberry, you know, like there's all these different things, and that's what appeals to kids, because right. like
it's if, to get you addicted.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, you like bubble gum. You know, yeah. you go to a slushy stand, you get bubble gum flavor. Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say. It's
kind of on the same point, and also these big tobacco companies that kind of like to disguise it now, because you don't see like teenagers smoking cigarettes as much. Yeah. You see them having the jewels, having the whatever dab pens or whatever. Right. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Honestly, but yeah, they try to disguise it in a way that seems less harmful than it actually is. And that's they're trying true. To exploit these kids yeah. and it's really hurting them mm-hmm. in the long run.
And something they say a lot is that it's less tobacco in the e-cigs, and that might, I don't know if that's true. It might be, but from what I understand, there's a lot more nicotine.
Yes.
And so then you're doing it so much more often, which is just going to end up giving you more harm in the end. And I don't think...
you
get
addicted, and then you, yeah. you know, you have no money. And
yeah,
then,
right. exactly.
Yeah, so...
Honestly, as bad as it is, the tobacco companies are pretty good at their sales pitch, because when they go for vulnerable kids at young ages, then they have a buyer for the rest of their lives. So oh, if they yeah. start from a young age, oh, yeah. that exactly. teenager's going to be buying from that tobacco company for the rest of their 80 years that they live.
Yeah. See, that's a good point. Like... why not go after the kids? Because if you get them addicted now, just like what you said, they're going to be addicted for the rest of their lives.
But that's nothing new, because, I mean, you remember, like, back in the old days in cigarettes, they targeted young kids. That's and, true. Like, oh, yeah. now yeah, all my, the boomers now yeah, are addicted to cigarettes, or some of them or whatever.
Yeah, my grandpa started already. Smoking when he was, like, 13.
Yeah.
Because that's just what you did, you know? That yeah. was the thing, I guess. I don't
they
know.
Also had the war and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right.
That helped... their calls, but
yeah.
I mean, if this gives any kind of perspective, back in, I believe, the 50s, the Flintstones collaborated with Winston and made a smoking commercial.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they were just like mowing the lawn, and all of a sudden, Barney pulls out a pack of Winstons. It's like, what the crap?
Is that
like,
why?
If I'm an impressionable child, it's like, okay, if the Flintstones are smoking, maybe I should smoke.
Is that yeah. why the Flintstones came out with the candy cigarettes, so that you could start there and then?
Yeah, yeah, you start with the candy and then you upgraded the Winstons.
That's a big upgrade. But yeah, that's just so crazy to me to think about. Like, and then once the kids get into it, like, it's nearly impossible to get out, and it takes like a lot of self-motivation, I guess, determination, because right. I hear a lot of people, especially our age, that say like, I wish I didn't do it, but I'm already this far into it, so why stop? Like, what's okay. it like, if it's already done the damage it's gonna do, what more can it possibly do, you know?
And there's been a lot of trends like on TikTok and Instagram mm-hmm. of people just dumping their jewels or whatever in cups of water and yeah. then saying, I'm stopping right now. And then, you know, there's mixed comments about it, saying, you know, you got this, and there's some like, why would you do that? Like,
yeah.
Like, you're just, you wasted $15, you wasted 20, however mm-hmm. much it is.
Yeah, but that's going to say, if they stay committed to that, that's going to save them a lot of money down the road.
Yeah,
that's
is.
Very true. Definitely. But, like, I also think, or actually, I just lost my train of thought. Just kidding. I don't remember what I was going to say.
I would just like to chime in on what you're saying, Ryan. Like how you're saying, like, there's mixed comments. Like, someone's like, you know, congratulations, you know, I'm happy for you. And then other people, like, you're wasting money.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I mean, you're no better than, like, the tobacco companies if you sell it yeah. to someone else either, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because I think the best thing you could do in that situation, if you are to get rid of it, is to literally just destroy it. Because yeah. if you're giving it to someone else, I mean, you're not helping, you know.
I mean,
yeah.
it's... Yeah, you yourself essentially become the e-cig company, because you're still passing that stuff on to another impressionable teenager or young adult. And, you know, stuff like that really bothers me. Like, the fact that you have the conscience to say, well, that's $15. I could sell that right now, or I could trade that right now. That's the part that bothers me the most.
Yeah.
I remember what I was going to say now. I was going to comment on what you were saying about social media. Like, I remember I've talked to my dad about a lot of different stuff, and he's like, well, like, back in my day, you know, that guy, he could say that, like, there was no social media. So you talk to people at school, and after school, that was it. You didn't see them till the next day at school. And you didn't, you know, you're not going to spend the money to call them, because it was a hassle back then. And so he was saying, like, with all this stuff, half the time people get into drugs or get into alcohol or bad things because of social media.
Yeah.
And I know social media can be a good thing, but it can also be very, very harmful to your mental health and all that stuff, because they see the trends on TikTok and they're like, well, I want to follow that.
And yeah, so that's, definitely.
That's if crazy. Anything, I'd say social media and modern technologies like that have made it much easier for tobacco mm-hmm. companies to mm-hmm. Give their sales pitches and reach young audiences, especially.
Yeah. And I think I kind of like to compare those kind of companies to the devil, because the devil is very, very, very smart. He knows what he's doing. He's very smart, and there's no doubt about that. But he is completely out to get you, no matter what. He doesn't care how old you are. You know, those companies don't care how old you are. They just want to. They just want money. They just
He tries to disguise himself, and you know, they're trying to disguise the tobacco and all that into the jewels and
that's true.
The flashy devices to get that high.
And even like aside from what we were saying, all the different flavors, like. Nowadays, there's all the different kinds of, like, jewels themselves. Like, they got the different colors of the actual, I guess, container itself. And, like, they've got different designs. And they probably have cases for them or something. You know, they've got all these little gadgets that just make it so much more appealing. And they know how to, like, get in with all the trends that are on TikTok or Instagram or whatever to make it that much more appealing. And that's why it's, like, so much scarier, because it's, like, what's the next thing they're going to do? And then more kids are just going to keep falling into the trap and not be able to get out.
Right. So, Caitlin, I understand that you have been involved in a special project, and I got to see a bit of that project before we started recording. Do you mind just kind of talking about that for a little bit?
Yeah. So, a few weeks ago, I kind of told everybody that I was going to be in a movie. And we took about a week to film that, actually, because I think COVID had to rush it a little bit. But so we filmed that in about a week. And then it's been about 2 or 3 weeks since we did that. And they've already got the trailer ready to go. I've already seen the trailer. Wow. It looks very good. I'm so excited. And they have said that our cast premiere is going to be May 8th. So we recorded mid-March, and it's coming out May 8th.
Wow. That is a quick turnaround. Yeah,
I know. I think because they want it like to be uploaded to like Amazon Prime and stuff by Mother's Day, and I think that was their original goal, but COVID kind of, you know, rushed them, because I think they wanted to get started last year.
Do you have any idea how long the movie is?
They said originally it was supposed to be about 90 minutes.
Okay.
So I don't know. They haven't said that since the trailer's been you don't get too exhausted, you're like, oh my gosh, like Endgame. I love that movie, but it's a long movie. 4 hours.
It's even they recently what is it, the Justice League extended
cut. Yeah.
Saw that? I mean, Dad was like, oh, you wanna watch this with me, because I've already saw like the Justice League, but like originally, like the writer or something, they had to cut it down because it was like a 5-hour movie or something. And we started it, and I was like, how long is this movie? Because I was wanting to do some other stuff, we looked at it, and I was like, I'm not sitting here for 5 hours watching this movie with you. I'm sorry, Dad.
It's like the Bohemian Rhapsody of movies, because Bohemian Rhapsody is such a long song for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I got going on. Some of y'all in here are in tennis. How's that been going?
Well, we played Madisonville North Hawkins last night. The boys, we got pretty well beat. I won my singles, and I think Vincent and Reed won their doubles game, and me and Seth played their number one doubles team, and we lost the first set 6-2, and then we lost the second set in a tiebreak, and so we lost the game. But the bright side is that me and Seth that's our only third game playing together.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In doubles, and they're probably one of the best doubles teams in the region. So to hang with them like that, bright future, hopefully. So
I just want to step back and say for just a second, what you just did, Ryan, is what we have been talking about through this whole podcast. You said, yeah, we might have lost, but on the bright side, this is only the beginning. We just started. This is what we've been trying to tell these people this whole time, is that even when bad things happen or you lose, you still got to look on the bright side and find a positive to it. But yeah, what about you, Miles? You're playing tennis, right?
I am, yeah. Not too bad. like Ryan said, I did get beat yesterday, but you know, just the start of the season. So I played a doubles with Eli, and it was 5-8, so it wasn't completely 0-8. But right. It was a good game. We can't even be mad about
is
it.
Is that y'all's first time playing doubles together?
Yeah, so, well, in a couple years at least. A couple years ago, my freshman year, we played doubles once. That's only our second time ever, so.
Oh, okay. Wow. It's definitely so good. You're still in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Gotcha. And then I think the girls, they handed it to Madisonville.
They did really good.
I think they won most of their matches. So.
Yeah, I know they won in the whole entire thing, but I don't know who all won and who all lost. Yeah. But,
well, that's awesome.
But they did really good. And Madisonville North is usually one of the best tennis teams. You know, you got Henderson, UHA. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Well, there you go.
Bright future, hopefully.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the point of the first match of the season, really, is to figure out exactly where you are and where to go from there.
Especially because of COVID, we didn't get to have a season last year. So
Everybody's behind. Rusty,
yeah.
Our sophomore year, me and Tyler, going into the season, we knew who was good. We knew who we had to beat. We knew, you know, how everybody played. But, you know, I've played the people that we played last night before, but it's been 2 years.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Or a
year or whatever.
Like,
so
you might as well be playing somebody completely different.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody's got so much better. It's just like playing a whole – moving schools and playing a whole different region. Yeah.
That's
so
crazy. Well, what about you, Preston? What you got going on?
Oh, let me tell you. last night was a very interesting night. Played my first singles match and my first doubles match. Singles, I got obliterated. Yeah. But at the same time, my coach came over and talked to me. He's like, there is no way in the world you played a first-year player. We were promised first year, and that guy looks like he's been playing for 4 years, so don't worry about it. It's like, okay.
Did that make you feel a little better?
No, it did not. No.
Well, to give North the credit, their coach is, like, crazy good.
Oh, I know.
And he has the best name. His name's, like, Fazenbaker.
Fazenbaker.
Nice.
Like,
that's an awesome
name. That's a
name.
Sports name.
So, yeah.
That is a sports name.
Whenever I go up to talk to him and, you know, I'm have to introduce myself and, you know, say what I'm playing so I can get to on the right court, I'll always make sure to say his name because it's, you know, cool.
I feel like
it's a very powerful name, so it's
Fazenbaker.
Pretty funny. Yeah, so.
That almost sounds like a wrestler's name.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I had that kind of last name.
Fazenbaker.
But... yeah, so you guys played on those new courts at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
I played at the oldest courts in the history of man at
those
the top
nets
of the hill.
Were so low. I went up to y'all's courts, and which we played there past 3 years, and I guess they haven't kept up with the courts since they got the new ones.
No.
And like those courts were like 3 feet off the ground barely.
Yeah.
And like they were really low, so I'm surprised y'all were able to play. I mean, it totally changes the game if it's a couple inches off.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everything that I've been completely used to was thrown out the window.
Yeah.
Because especially, like, on the courts that I played on, all the courts were at, like, a 15-degree angle down.
Yeah.
So, that wasn't fun. And then on the courts that I warmed up on, there was a giant bow in the middle of the court. So, it felt like you were, like, falling over if you got too far, like, in the middle of the court.
Yeah, I don't know why y'all didn't play at the college. The college has so much better courts, and it's just down the road because we played there in the past. But
yeah, and they said like in the announcement, you guys are going to go play at the college. I was like, sweet, I've played there forever. I know what to expect. And all of a sudden, I was like, no, y'all are going to play at the junky old ones that are older than the school itself. It's just like, I don't know. I mean, yesterday was fun. It was eye opening because, I thought that I could get into my zone. Like, I've got a pregame playlist that I always listen to before a football game. And I quickly realized that I was taking this way too seriously. Like, I was a little bit too cutthroat with it.
It's more, Ms. Shock usually says, like, tennis is more of a boxing match than, like, a basketball game. So, like, you have to, like, every shot counts. And then if you don't get the shot, you have to, you know, look at what you did wrong and just go to the next one because you have no time to look back and it's not going to change anything. So it's more
forward.
It's more of a consistency thing and more of a how you take losses or take imperfections in your game and better yourself.
Yeah, it's like the reactions are almost the most important part. It's like you know, you do the action, but then you reflect on that and react.
Right.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
For me as a tennis player, it's really easy to get in my head, and as soon as that happens, you know, it's just downhill from there.
That's one of the problems that me and Seth face as a doubles team, is because we've noticed that both of us are really we get into our own heads, and when you have two people like that together, it's kind of sometimes it gets, you know, conflicting, but we try our best to keep each other calm, and then try to do our best that way.
So. What is it meant? It's like, what's the phrase? There's like a phrase that's like, it's mind over matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. And it's like, it's really a mental battle as much as anything. Like, yeah, it's a physical game, but when you get in your head, it can mess with you.
It's definitely a mental game. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But at least the wind wasn't as bad. Well, I mean, it was cold last night, but
so cold.
We played Henderson like the first game of the season, and it was like 40-mile-an-hour wind.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Going one direction, and like, it was like hitting like a brick, because they would be hitting the ball and they could barely tap it, and it would go like, you know, 50 miles an hour, and you'd it was at least it wasn't as bad the last night as it was in Henderson. So
yeah, that's something I couldn't figure out, is that the fact that you actually played in that, because I didn't play that night, and so I took my brother out to MCC and played, and like I told him, if you need to stop play and stop a serve because of the wind, go ahead. So we would just sit there for like 2 or 3 minutes, just like, is the wind ever going
to
stop?
See, that's the thing, though. When you're in an actual match, you can't do that. Yeah. So it's better just to play, roll with the punches, and adapt. And that's half the game, is just adapting to your environment.
Right, yeah. But I just, you guys are miracle workers for playing in that, because that was definitely different than anything I've ever played in.
So coming from like a physical sport like football, what's the main difference between football and tennis?
I think the first thing would be, you don't have to kill the ball. You do not have to bring 100% intensity, or the same kind of intensity every single point. Because I did that the first couple games. I was like, okay, this is clearly not working.
Yeah.
And then I think the mentality you have to bring in is completely different. Like, you can't be ready to kill. You have to.
I was going
to
say, I feel like football is destroy.
Yes. Destroy your enemies. Yes, exactly. But I think with tennis, you have to be more relaxed. You have to be comfortable with your game, and you just have to just go out there and do your best without absolutely tearing yourself apart if you mess up.
Yeah.
Because once you do that, you get in your own head, and I think, those are definitely the biggest differences.
One of my favorite things about playing tennis, like when I started my freshman year, is it's like, it's totally different than any other sport, because I feel like, I don't know why, but it's kind of like a country club sport. Like more formal, I feel like.
Yes.
And it's really neat in that aspect. But and then also there's parts of the game where you're hitting yourself in the leg with your tennis racket because you're mad and you're yelling and whatever. But
I think compared to like team sports, tennis relies more just on you as a player, because obviously, especially in singles, you're just by yourself, or doubles, it's just with you and someone else, instead of being, you know, 10 or 12 people on the field in kind of a group.
You really have to take responsibility for whatever you do.
Yeah, for sure.
If you lose, it's you and your doubles partner, or you, or, you know, it's just something you have to deal with. So
right.
Does that pressure ever like wear you down? Because I feel like that pressure would make me almost want to like snap. I don't know if I could handle it.
It's a little stressful.
Sometimes, but then you learn how to cope with it.
And yeah. I was going to say that I think that makes it easier for me, because I don't feel like I have the excuse of blaming somebody else. Like I'm judging me whenever I play, especially with singles. That I'm judging my performance.
Yeah.
And I can tell you exactly where I messed up and where I can improve on. And with football, it's not necessarily that clear, because you might not have the best offensive line, or your running back game isn't as good.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot less moving parts with that.
That makes sense. So it's like a surefire, like, I did this, you know. It's not like a question like, well, did Johnny do bad or did Billy do it? You know, no, it was me.
Yeah.
It was me. That's
the best part of about last night. Me and Seth lost, But the bright side is that they exposed like all the imperfections that we had.
Right.
So yeah. Now going into the, you know, spring break, we'll have like a whole week of practice, and like Miss Shock talked to us. She was like, "We have to work on this. We have to work on this." And then there was individual stuff that we had to work on, and then also just communication. Mm-hmm. You know, playing as a doubles team, it's kind of different than singles. Really different than singles
because
there's actually plays that you can do. And then we're gonna have to work on those. And they have played together. That doubles team that we played, they played together multiple times. So they were like a legit, you know, team. So
yeah.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you guys for all listening to this podcast. I hope that you can take all the advice we've given about positivity and adapting, and all the stuff about the e-cigs and trying to stay away from those, and use that in your everyday lives. This was Chatter for Change, and we will see you guys next time.
Peace.